Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join us once again this week for another exciting foray into the unknown world of technology. Now, for some of us, of course, it's a little bit more known than with others. Yeah, for those of us that kind of live in a tech world, this is less of a foray into the unknown than maybe for others. Alrighty, well, I'll tell you what. First of all, right at the top of the program, let me extend a tremendously humble apology to my friend, Scott Redmond. Scott, I'm sorry. I said at the outset of the program last week that I didn't know anything about sports. Boy, was I right. I said that Scott was a big Reds fan. He is not a big Reds fan. He's a big Red Sox fan, you know? I mean, it's different to whether you're red or you just have red socks, okay? So, I'm sorry. You know, Scott, of course, he said I could do penance for that, and that's only a slightly pun, you know, baseball penance, get it? Oh, that was bad. Okay, he said I could do penance by simply putting the header. You know, I was congratulating him on the great header that he did for the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon website, and I greatly appreciate that. But there in the corner where it says a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, he's wanting me to replace that for a week with the Red Sox logo. And he sent me a header so that I could do that. And Scott, to show you that I really, really do apologize, I'm going to put the logo there for you. So therefore, you know, it's one of those cases where I will always remember that he's a Red Sox fan, not a Reds fan. Okay? Big difference. Me, whether their socks are red or green or blue or orange, does not matter, but it matters to those who do sports. So there you go. So I will take care of that. By the time the podcast airs, so to speak, by the time it's out on the RSS feed, I will have replaced the header with the official Red Sox sponsor logo. Or Red Sox, maybe I should say honor ring logo. How's that? And of course, since I'm going to be replacing their banner, I better give a plug to the Tech Podcast Network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeed. If it's tech, it is here. And I just needed to throw that in since we're about to take the Tech Podcast logo off the top of the site for just a short period of time while I do my penance to Scott. Yes. Alrighty, well, let's move on to the tech news, shall we? First of all, the Geek Software of the Week. You know, I like to provide really, really useful programs for the Tech Software of the Week. Some, I'll admit, are lamer than others, okay? Some are really cool and really neat, and you really need them. Others are just kind of, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but they kind of caught my eye, and they look pretty good. This one, you really do need if you're a geek at all. I was talking to a friend of mine at work, Steve Taylor. He and I both work at Center for Creative Leadership, both of us as contractors. And Steve sent me an email one day, and he says, Dr. Bill, what's a good ISO burner? I am so tired of Nero, and I am too. Nero started out really cool and was really nice, and it just got to where it was so bloated. And I used for Geek Software of the Week a few months back, another product that after I used it for a while, it was Geek Software of the Week, and it was an ISO burner. After I used it for a while, I found out that it, too, had some issues with it that I didn't like. I wanted something that was very small. It wasn't bloated like Nero. It just burned ISOs. That's all it did. No big deal. No ads, no try to get you to buy something else. No, oh, well, you can use it for a while, but then we're going to pop up and tell you, by the way, that you need to buy the full product. Just a good, free ISO recorder. And that's exactly what we have. ISO Recorder is the Geek Software of the Week. Now, I mentioned in the write-up here, this one is worth every penny. I didn't have to pay for it. It's totally free. It's not bloated at all, and it works kind of like a Windows Wizard. You know, you've used the Windows Wizards before. As a matter of fact, Windows built unzipping into Windows as a wizard so that if you run across a zip file and you click on it, it will come up and it will step you through a wizard interface to unzip it. So in the same way, this ISO burner works. If you have an ISO and you right-click on it and it says Burn ISO, you click that option and it goes through this little wizard interface and allows you to burn the ISO to a CD or DVD or whatever. So it's an awesome little utility and it works great. Matter of fact, it works better than just about any of the utilities that I've run across for this kind of thing. So I just felt like it really had to be a Geek Software of the Week. Now let me read a little blurb off of the guy's website that wrote it. ISO Recorder is a tool, or power toy, as they call it, those little wizards, for Windows XP 2003 and now Windows Vista. So it is even supported under Windows Vista, which is kind of nice. That allows, depending on the Windows version, to burn CD and DVD images. Obviously, you have to have a DVD burner and a CD burner. It kind of goes without saying. Copy disks, make images of the existing data, CDs, and DVDs, and create ISO images from contents of a disk folder. So if you want to create your own ISO image, then you could do that. See, what I like to use it for, I like to download the latest, greatest version of various Linux distros. Let's say SUSE has one that just came out recently, 10.1, that I was kind of interested in. So I downloaded that. And then you just right-click on the ISO, and it's cool because the image, the file image, becomes the little ISO CD burner logo of the ISO Recorder software. So you right-click, you say burn it to the CD, boom, burns it to the CD. It's quick, it's easy. Oh, it was so cool. And it just burned it with no problems whatsoever. And, you know, hey, something that helps me prevent myself from turning CDs into coasters is a good thing. So that is our Geek Software of the Week for this week. And let me tell you, you need to download it because you will really enjoy it. All right. Now, you know that I like to keep up with technology of all sorts, not just computers and, you know, open source and things of that nature, although that's kind of my specialty. But I like all kinds of technology. And one of the things that I've been trying to kind of keep on top of a little bit lately is this whole alternative fuels thing. Now, I'm personally really, really, really in favor of ethanol. And I've expressed that before, that my real thing about ethanol is, first of all, it burns very cleanly. Second of all, we can grow our own corn, and there's all kinds of other plant-type fuels, including even grasses that you can use to create ethanol, but particularly corn. You know, old corn mash whiskey, you know, like the moonshiners used to run. Well, you grow corn, you process it very much like moonshine, because that's pretty much what it is, turn it into ethanol, and then you mix it with a little bit of gasoline, 85% ethanol to, what, 15% of gas, and you come up with E85, or ethanol 85, fuel. And there's a lot of cars that are already ready to burn the E85 fuel, or the ethanol fuel. Now, what's cool about ethanol is, like I said, it burns clean. And the primary thing that I like about it is we're already paying farmers not to grow corn because there's such a, you know, oversupply in a lot of cases of corn. If we cut our farmers loose to grow all the corn they could easily provide enough ethanol fuel to fuel the whole country. Because in a lot of cases, we've had to pay them not even to grow corn because the corn price would drop so fast that it would mess up the market. So that's one of the things the government does, which is kind of weird in and of itself, but we won't get into that. The point is, we can grow a lot of corn. We can produce a lot of ethanol, and that means that the Arabs won't be holding it over our heads. We can get by with a whole lot less fuel from, shall we say, areas of the world that are not as pleased with our particular stand on things. So, hey, fine. You guys go talk amongst yourselves, and we'll grow ourselves our own fuel. And I like that idea. That's a great idea on so many levels. It just appeals to me. Now, there are issues with that. I'm kind of digressing here as we talk about some of these issues. But that, there's some issues with that in that there are conversion kits available throughout the world to convert your regular engine, like you and I probably already have in our cars, into ethanol-burning cars. But they're illegal here in the U.S. because, now get this, the environmentalist lobbies have pushed so hard to have better fuel-efficient cars, they've made it illegal to put aftermarket products into the car that would mess up its fuel, how's the best way to say this, ratio, if you will, of exhaust gases in burning unleaded fuel. Okay, now that's all well and good to a certain extent, but the thing is, if I go in and in effect radically change my engine by an aftermarket kit so that it'll burn ethanol, and then they try to judge it based on it burning regular fuel, then it's not going to pass the standards. So these kits are illegal. Yet, if you use the kit and made your car where it could burn ethanol, then your car would burn more efficiently, more power, and have less pollution. And you'd easily pass the, you know, clean air laws. Yet, it's illegal to do that. So we're in a catch-22 situation, which is dumb. I mean, come on, folks. Now, they did this in Brazil. They made these aftermarket kits. People, you know, built their cars, changed their cars with these aftermarket kits in such a way that they burned the E85 fuel, and they're just burning that fuel, and they're growing their own corn, and they're doing their own thing like we ought to be. Well, anyway, that's just one of many, many, many ways that we could go into alternative energies for cars. Here's one that caught my eye that was very, very strange. And this is the one I blogged about this week. Actually, my wife Belinda caught it in Dr. Mercola's blog, and she sent the information to me about it. And so I looked it up. It is an air-powered car. Air-powered car. Now, that's weird, okay? The air-powered car uses compressed air in a 100-mile trip tank of compressed air, and you fill it up with air for $3 per 100-mile trip. Now, you know, that's cool. Excuse me. That means, didn't mean to cough right in your ear there, kind of snuck up on me, but that means that for 100 miles, you only pay $3 to compress the air. The emissions that are released is air. So, wow. No pollution whatsoever. And you're running on air, literally. While I was looking into that, I found a little blurb about a gravity plane. This plane is powered by gravity. Now, that's weird, too. Okay, but not only that, it also uses compressed air in one of its phases, and it's actually fairly complicated how they do this. But basically, the airplane going through the air compresses air into tanks that they then use, you know, to manipulate the plane so that it flies like a glider part of the time, which uses gravity to kind of make it come in, and then lifts at another point. It's just, you'll have to see the animation to see how it works. And I've got a link to the gravity plane animation and the guy explaining it, how it works. But I tell you, it's pretty, pretty wild stuff. So you need to check that out. All right, and so we've got the air as fuel, both for cars and for planes. Pretty weird. All right, next item. They've come out with a virus. Now get this. The same virus attacks Windows and Linux. Now, Linux has been pretty much left out of the whole, you know, virus problem because it's been such a small part of the market share that most people haven't even bothered fooling with it. But now they've written the virus that actually will attack Windows and Linux. Now, the quote here from the source that I found is, virus researchers at Kaspersky Labs have found proof of concept code for a cross-platform virus capable of infecting both Windows and Linux systems. An alert posted in VirusList, Kaspersky said that the sample virus had been given a dual name, virus.linux.bi.a and virus.win32.bi.a, and highlighted the way attackers are targeting multiple platforms in malware attacks. Now, these guys, I mean, virus writers are just evil, all right? You know, I mean, as they say in Hitchhikers, they need to be first up against the wall when the revolution comes. I mean, come on. Oh, man. But anyway, Windows is not safe because so many viruses are written for Windows. But now, they're going for Linux, too. Man, that's bad. But the thing is, the great thing about Linux is, in the great majority of cases, Linux users do not run in a privileged account like root, an administrative account. So they're running an account that doesn't have access to the operating system to make changes unless they explicitly do it. So it's just much safer. The whole design of Windows, of Linux is much safer. All right. Next and last item, it is time to put down the dog. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me just read you a little bit of the blog here. If you've ever been a pet owner and had an old, faithful pet that just got so sick and so pitiful that it had to be, as the saying goes, put down, then you'll understand the anxiety of current Microsoft Windows 95, 98, and ME owners. This July 11th, now it's this summer, July 11th, is it. Microsoft will no longer support these operating systems. If you call them for support, they will laugh. They will no longer post security fixes. In short, you should bury these old dogs before July. Okay, now this is your warning. If you are currently using Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows ME, first of all, bless your darling heart. You need to get off of them dog operating systems anyway, all right? So move on, folks. You need to either buy a new computer, which will most likely come with Windows XP, which, you know, okay, it's more stable, somewhat safer than the older versions of Windows by really a long shot. From the older versions of Windows, it is tremendously safer, okay? It's still not as good as Linux, but, you know, it's still a lot better than the old 95, 98, and ME world that you have been stuck in, apparently, for all these years. So get off of those dog operating systems. Get you a good new computer, because chances are your old computer is not going to run XP. If it does, it's going to run it very, very slowly and sluggishly. Your other option, though, is probably even better for you. If you don't mind the hardware you've got, you want to keep it. You just want to get rid of your dog operating system. Have I got a deal for you? All you got to do is download and install Linux, which is free. It will run on your older system, and you will have a spiffier, happier little machine that will be safer. But of course, here's the kicker. It's not going to run Windows software. So, here's the thing. Listen closely now, those of you that have 95, 98, ME, and you're not super geeks, okay? You're just regular folk, and you're listening to this podcast. Here's what you got to do. Figure out what you do with your computer. Do you mainly surf the web? Okay, that's one. Check your email? Okay. Maybe listen to MP3s? Okay. Oh, occasionally maybe do some, you know, graphics manipulation work. Okay. All of those things, word processing, you know, spreadsheets. Now I'm talking about the word processing documents you currently have, the spreadsheets you currently have, all of those, you can do all of those under OpenOffice. And all of those will run your old documents under OpenOffice fine, but you can do it under Linux. So here's what you'd have to do. You'd have to back up all of your old documents, all your old spreadsheets, everything you've got that you've saved, put those off to like a CD. Burn them to a CD. You know, if you're not familiar with burning a CD, there's a little wizard, like we talked about wizards earlier under Windows, that you put a blank CD in your CD burner. It'll come up and it'll say, you want to open up a folder in which you can drop files to burn to a CD? And you say, yes. Okay, you do that and you're good to go. You burn your files over to CD. Another thing you can do is you can copy them. If you're on a network, you can copy them across the network to another machine. All right. Now we're talking about getting rid of old machines that are 95, 98, and ME particularly. All right. But you want to save all these off. You format your hard drive. You install Linux. And you move your files back. And then you can just open them with OpenOffice and most of the things that will typically come with most distributions. OpenOffice and MP3 players and browsers and email, all of that typically come with a good desktop Linux distribution. Now, you may say, well, Dr. Bill, where do I go to get these good Linux distributions that are free? All right, here's what you want to do. There is a distribution called Simply Mepis, M-E-P-I-S, Simply Mepis. That's a good one. It comes pretty much configured like you're going to want it for your basic, simple desktop. All right? Now, you go to Mepis. I believe it's .com for Mepis. Let me check because here I am talking about it and I haven't even done my research. Shame on me. No, it's Mepis.com. Yeah, that's where you want to go. Mepis.com. Mepis.org is on development information and also has downloads. But Mepis.com will tell you about Mepis. Now, there's MepisLovers.org. If you go there, it will tell you more about Mepis from a point of view of those that really, really, really love it. And there's downloads for it, and there's themes, and there's all kinds of good stuff there. But the Simply Mepis distribution is a really, really good distribution for beginners, okay? That's free. Now, I'm stressing that's free, all right? We'll get to the second stage of that in a minute. Another really good distribution is Ubuntu. Now, I have a hard time pronouncing that because it's an African word, and I just don't speak the language, if you will. However, Ubuntu.com will tell you more about Ubuntu. Now, the thing about Ubuntu is that typically, if you download just the standard, typical Ubuntu CD and burn your ISO and boot your system and install that, you're going to get the GNOME desktop. I prefer KDE. That's just me. I prefer KDE. It's more Windows-like. It's friendlier than GNOME, in my opinion. So, I am told that if you want to use Ubuntu, go ahead and download, and I've tried this, it works very well. Go ahead and download Ubuntu, then go into the Add Remove Programs function, which is really Synaptic, but you can go in there because it's a Debian-based distro. Go in there and then download the KDE package and install that, and then you'll have the option to go into GNOME or KDE. All right, and if you set KDE to be your default, then you'll be in the KDE interface, and it'll work great. There is a Kubuntu. They put a K in the front because it's already designed with KDE as part of the package, and that's a good one. You know, go ahead and download that, play with it. See, that's the great thing about Linux. You can download them and play with them and find the one you like best. Maybe you like Kubuntu better than Ubuntu. Or maybe you like Simply Mepis better than both of them. But you can download all of them for free and play with them. And most of them come with a run from the CD option so that you can just try that. And just try it. Don't even have to reformat your hard drive. Just try it. But if you're going to be redoing your system anyway and you've already saved all your files off, try a couple of versions and find out which one you like best. And that'll work great. All right. Now, I mentioned for free. If you don't mind paying $49 for Linux, you say, what? I thought Linux was free. It is, but There are distributions that if you pay a little, you get value-added stuff put into it. And the best one of those for brand spank new Linux users, never booted Linux before, and have only used Windows your entire life, the best one for you is Linspire. L-I-N-S-P-I-R-E, Linspire. All right, Linspire.com. Now, it's only $49. But believe me, if you are a total complete newbie, it will be worth that. Because here's what they do. They configure Linspire with all the options that I would put on a system if it were me doing it for you. Okay, KDE is the interface, which they have taken even further toward Windows-likeness. I mean, it even has a My Documents, right? Everything you would normally see in Windows, it's there, okay? So that's good. Plus, they already bundle in. Since you're paying for it, they can throw in some stuff that requires licensing. Things like MP3 players that are very easy and simple to use that look and act like Windows Media Player. As a matter of fact, it actually has some Windows Media Player code built into it because of their settlement with Microsoft. Microsoft gave them that code, so it made it very easy for them to run the Windows Media format from their player. So that's pretty cool. All right, then they already install OpenOffice for you. They've got everything laid out like you would expect it. They've got antivirus available. You have to pay for it, just like you would for Windows, but it's fairly inexpensive. And then you can get all these other programs through the CNR, or click and run interface, which is literally, and I kid you not here, one click software installation. No questions, no nothing. You go into CNR after you've paid for that service, and it is a very small fee, but you pay for that service, and then you've got all these thousands of free Linux software packages that if you see one you like, and let's say you like Frozen Bubble, which I do. I love Frozen Bubble. It's a great game. Excuse me. You go in there. You see Frozen Bubble. You click one button. Boom. It installs it. No questions. No where do you want to put it. No, you know, what's your mother's maiden name. I mean, nothing. Nothing. One mouse click. And you've got Frozen Bubble. It puts Frozen Bubble on your menu listing. It puts a Frozen Bubble icon on your desktop. It is ready to roll. And it does that for all the applications that are in Click and Run. And that's pretty cool. Now, I know all you Linux geeks out there are throwing wall-eyed squall and hissy fits. Dr. Mel, you can't recommend Linspire. It's terrible. No, it's not. Here's why it's not terrible. First of all, it's a Debian-based distro. I like that. Second of all, the default is KDE. I like that. Third of all, they've got Click and Run, which is a very powerful software, not only interface to install packages with one click, but it actually manages all the packages you've installed so you can see what you've got. And if you want to make another system look just like the system you typically run, you can do a one-click install of all the packages you selected that's in your aisle. You create an aisle in Click and Run, and it puts it in there. It's very cool. Now, here's the thing. It's for newbies, folks. It's for people that are Windows guys, okay? If you're a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Linux guy from way back that used to compile your own kernel, and I mean, you've paid your dues, you're not going to run Linspire, okay? We understand that. But if you're a Windows guy that just wants to get rid of your 95, 98, you know, operating system, ME operating system, Linspire is a good way to go. Okay? Now, before I talked about Linspire, I mentioned Simply Mepis and Ubuntu and Kubuntu, all right? I talked about all the free ones first. Don't send me your hate mail. But come on, folks, cut Linspire some slack. They have done a very nice distribution for folks that are just starting out. And from my point of view, that's a good thing. Well, we're just about out of time. I'm going to slide on out of here. Listen, Scott, one more time. I'm really sorry about the Reds thing. I know it's Red Sox. And when you look at the site and you see that we are talking about the Red Sox, then hopefully you'll be cool with that and you'll understand that the doctor just messed up because I'm not a sports guy, okay? I know he understands. He's already told me that. Well, I'm out of here. Remember, until next week, then the doctor is out!